We move on to our political analyst, David Arredondo, who joins us this morning. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, Bruce and Craig. How you guys doing?
Good. Very well.
So has the ride come to a complete stop as far as
God, it's just starting. Forget about stopping. This is ongoing, and it's not going to stop until November 8th.
All right, here's a little from last night.
We are suspending our campaign. But hear me now. I am not suspending our fight for liberty.
So, David, will it take on more of a traditional sense of will we have one candidate on this end, or what's the next step as we work our way towards July?
Well, we're going to, essentially the race is over, and it's a matter of gathering at the convention and the delegates there who are pledged to whichever candidate, but it would appear that the majority will be pledged to Donald Trump. And so they'll put his name in nomination and a vice presidential candidate, and then we go forward from there.
Well, here is what Trump had to say in relation to the VP.
I would like to have somebody that could truly be good with respect to dealing with the Senate, dealing with Congress, getting legislation passed, working toward something where we're not signing executive orders every 3 days like President Obama does.
So where does this VP search begin, and how will it go?
Yeah, that's very interesting. My mind was, number one, a woman. And from those women, a number of governors, Susana Martinez out of New Mexico, or perhaps Nikki Haley out of South Carolina. But when he mentioned specifically the Senate, somebody who's there, who's able to work with her colleagues, fellow colleagues, someone like Joni Ernst comes to my mind, a senator from Iowa. So, that's interesting, but I believe it would and should be a woman.
David, a lot of polls had Donald Trump beating Ted Cruz by double digits, and that's pretty much what happened last night. Were you surprised at all, however, that Ted Cruz dropped out of the race after saying repeatedly he was in it to the end?
Yeah, I did find that surprising initially, but when you sit back and you look at what the numbers are, and that is to say, not a single delegate came out of Indiana. And he really needed that to stop this momentum and perhaps give him a better chance in the western states and in California. And I believe he saw such a devastating loss in Indiana, like you said, double digits. And it actually exceeded what the Wall Street Journal NBC news poll came out on Sunday that showed him down by 14 or so. I think Trump won by 16 or 17. So I think that inevitability to Ted was that, it's over and it's futile to continue going on, given that we probably won't, stop him and win enough delegates to go for a contested convention. So, yeah, it made sense to him and to me that he did stop.
Why is John Kasich still in the race? Is he setting himself up for another run for the presidency?
No, I... To answer that question, I really have no idea. I mean, I knew why he was in it after Ohio. He was looking for the possibility that there would be a contested convention. And when you go to the third or the fourth or the fifth ballot, people would be looking around and say, oh, there's John Kasich. Let's make him the nominee. But that scenario is probably over. And so if you go and you get a first ballot win for Donald Trump, there's no need for John Kasich or Marco Rubio or anybody else. The nomination is over and done with. So why he would continue to go on beyond today, I really have no idea.
So here we are the day after Ted Cruz drops out. You know, David, over the past several months, a lot of people, Republicans, have said no way to Donald Trump. And here, looks like that's what you get.
That's exactly right. What it a lot of us miscalculated, and what we're seeing here in the embodiment of Donald Trump is a repudiation of the status quo under Barack Obama and or slash Hillary Clinton in the next 4 years. We've seen a repudiation of Republican leadership that has not met the challenge to take on Obama. And so this is an across-the-board result that comes from wins in the Northeast, in the Midwest, through the South and the West. So it's not just a sectional or a small segment of an ideological segment of the Republican votership, because there are a lot of Democrats who have signed on. And if you look, at the vote totals in virtually every primary, maybe one or two exceptions, the turnout for Republicans has vastly exceeded that of Democrats. And I believe you're aware in Lorain County that a historical first occurred on March 15th, and that is 45,000 people asked for the Republican ballot and only 39,000 asked for the Democratic ballot. So it's a pretty substantial number of people who have looked for somebody to give an alternative to the status quo.
David, you're a Republican. You are a Republican Party leader here in Lorain County. Are you okay with Donald Trump as the nominee?
Well, yeah. You know what? I was probably for some time part of the Never Trump, you know, hashtag movement, et cetera, et cetera. But before that, I was probably a bigger fan of the Never Hillary Clinton movement. And so right now, it looks like we're never Hillary Clinton as far as my vote.
David Arredondo, our guest this morning, we thank you for your insight into the political process, and we will talk again as the months wear on closer to July. Thanks very much, David.
Well, thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.